He is risen. As we think about our Lord's resurrection as believers or regardless of our relationship with Christ, what are we to make of His resurrection today? Today in our lives? What are the implications? I mean, what relevance does it have for us in the 21st century? I'd like for us to consider that this morning. I want to look at a few scriptures. First, I'd like for us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's page 1205. I ask you to please stand as we read from the Word of God, which is spoken in history and preserved in time and space, right down to today for our personal uplifting and encouragement. Hear the Word of God spoken through the Apostle Paul and preserved for us. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born, that is born out of season. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. The Word of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, several times throughout the year, I get the privilege of sharing with some of our international students here at the church. As the director asked me last Wednesday to come and share the Easter story with the internationals here in the church as they spent some time during the break. And, of course, many of you are familiar with how the story is told through the multicolored Easter eggs, carton of 12 eggs and plastic eggs, and inside of each there is kind of a charm or a symbol to help you tell the story. So we're gathered last week right here, and I'm in the front, and we did an Easter egg hunt, and all the people are gathering the 12 eggs, and then they assemble, and after they did the Easter egg hunt, they begin to open them one by one. And the first one, for example, might be the donkey. And Jesus, remember, rides on a donkey into Jerusalem, heading, as the prophecy says, toward the cross. And then he might open the next egg, a blue egg perhaps, and there are some silver coins. It reminds us of the 30 pieces of silver that Judas was given to identify Christ, betray Him, so that He could be taken off and crucified. And then later on, you know, open some more eggs, the crown of thorns, some nails. And then we finished 11 eggs. And, you know, as you're going through the eggs, you can shake them and hear something inside. Well, we come to egg 12. And you shake it and you don't hear anything. And so the international student opens it. And I say, look, there's nothing there. maybe the charm fell on the floor. You know, maybe it got lost, or we forgot to put it inside. And of course, I don't know if everybody else heard it last Wednesday, but somebody had said, that's the most important egg of all. That's the most important part of the story. The shell that's empty. The Apostle Paul, as you look at this text, he says, unless the tomb is empty, we're wasting our time. Our Christian faith is futile. That we may have just go out and party and have a good time and live to the hilt if Jesus was not raised the third day. He said, why, in fact, you're still in your sins. The resurrection didn't happen. He said, we're just living a lie if it's not true. And then, of course, he goes on to say, but indeed, Jesus is raised from the dead. He says in verse 3, he says, I passed on to you what's of most first importance. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And on the third day, He was raised according to the Scriptures. He appeared to Peter. He says He appeared to the 12. He appeared to a crowd of 500 at one time. And then to James and individually. And then He says to me, Paul, later on. As you remember, His experience recorded for us in Acts chapter 9. Now, as you think about the Christian faith, there are a number of things we can say about what Christianity is. And Paul says this particular aspect of the faith is really the most important part of the story. Because without this, the whole Christianity makes no sense. And as we look at this, I want you to think about several of the implications. There are a multitude of implications if this event has occurred, which we say it has, which the Apostle says it has, and which others have witnessed. And what are the practical implications for us? First of all, that Jesus' resurrection means that you can find acceptance with God. That's a huge implication. That Jesus' resurrection means that you can find acceptance with God. You say, well, why do you say that? Well, this text is kind of a launching text, but I want us to think about this broadly. I've asked often, why do we die? Why does that happen to your loved ones, your grandmother or your relative or your neighbor? And why, what happened to you? And why do you stay dead? Why do people, after a while, they just don't get up out of the cemetery and, you know, they're all of a sudden, oh, by the way, I was the guy who lived 20 years ago. You know, you remember me? I was the neighbor down the street, passed away, last generation. Why don't we see that happening? Well, the Scripture puts it quite plainly. The paycheck you get for sin is death. Well, it looks like we're all getting paid the same thing. Not a very pleasant experience to have to deal with that or even think about it or move toward it. And so, it brings us to an empty tomb. Well, why can't we find the bones of Jesus? DNA, like some are trying to find in futility. Why is it that Jesus can walk away from the grave? Well, I want you to think for a minute. When Jesus was baptized, the Scripture says some word was spoken from heaven. The Father said who? Said what about Him? This is... Go ahead and finish it. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And he says, hear ye him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. We'd do good to listen to him. You see, God's pleased with the Son. He said the same thing at the Mount of Transfiguration, right? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And he said the same thing, without words, at the resurrection. You see, what the empty tomb tells you is that God is well pleased with Christ. His favor rests upon Christ. You see, God accepts the life that Jesus offered to God. He doesn't accept the life that you can offer him. You can try hard, you can perform hard, and I hope you're doing a lot to perform well. But it will never be acceptable to God. And that's why we die and we stay dead. And that's why Jesus lives and stays alive. Listen to Romans 4:25. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. For a while, a long time, I tried to figure out what does that mean? He died for our sins, but he was raised for our justification. Another translation to get at that can be this. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins, was raised to life to demonstrate our justification. In other words, to demonstrate our acceptance. Jesus dies for our sins, and the resurrection, coming back to life, shows that we are indeed accepted in Christ, if you can believe it. The resurrection proves that God's stamp of favor and acceptance is upon those who are in Christ. That's a beautiful thought. And so the resurrection doesn't simply become, oh yeah, that's that part of the creed we say. Let me see, crucified under Pontius Pilate, suffered under Pontius Pilate, died, buried, rose again, third day. That's the part that means I'm accepted. Rose again, the third day. You know, it's a difficult thing to go through life and not feel accepted by God. Easter is a great time for you to feel accepted because He is risen. It's an implication. Acceptance by God, implication of the resurrection. Second implication is that not only can we find acceptance in the resurrection, but we can find hope. It brings us hope. 1 Peter 1:3. You can feel free to look at it if you want, but I'll read it to you. I'll spend a couple thoughts on this, a couple major thoughts. The first is having to do with hope. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice the phrase, He's given us hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Hope through the resurrection. You know, it's said that kids love to go to the zoo. Is that true? The kids like to go to the zoo? We have a few kids here. I think the big people like to go too. Adults. Yeah, it's a great time. And, you know, you hang out at the zoo and you see all these animals. And I was reading about the Philadelphia Zoo and kids loving to go there. And they especially like to watch the large animals. It said in what I was reading that Philadelphia at that time had 2 elephants, 2 hippos, they had 3 rhinos, 3 giraffes, and 4 zebras and 5 camels. And all these kids are going to see them. And the problem was that these large animals, especially the elephants, leaving behind a large problem. They said it was a mess. Philadelphia Zoo didn't know what to do. Truth was that all the zoos across the states were scratching their heads. It was a mess. Well, you know, it's getting to be spring. And when I was reading this account, it said that for garden and plant lovers, for $2.95, you can buy a 2-pound bag of fertilizer called Zoom. And all that mess turned out to be a big profit when it was all said and done. Yeah, in fact, all the other zoos are starting to do it now. And Jesus' disciples, they once, on I believe it was a Friday, they were in a mess. They were discouraged, downcast. Seems to me I read somewhere they were actually, at some point, locking the doors to the church. Oh, it was the upper room. That's right. The doors were locked for fear, out of fear. You see, they were not in a good spot. They'd invested 3 years into somebody, and they were hoping this man would do something remarkable for them. They had invested a tremendous amount of time and energy into him. Here's a man who was walking around healthy and well, and it seemed like every town he went to, he touched someone who was sick. Well, they'd be healthy and well. And now all of a sudden, things weren't so well. And these men were discouraged. You see, because when their leader was nailed to a tree, he was stuck fast. And then a soldier came with a spear, and he thought he was dead. He wanted to make sure. So he took the spear and he lanced his side. And the scripture says, in so many words, he didn't move. Didn't even flinch. What happened, though, was some water and some blood came running out. Yeah, he was dead because it said that Pilate gave permission for Joseph, a man named Joseph Arimathea, who had a new tomb. He and somebody who was interested in following Jesus called Nicodemus. These guys got together and they requested the body and took it and put it in the tomb. And then it said that there was a stone, huge stone, put in front of the opening. And so the disciples weren't feeling so good. Everything had been going great following this guy. And now all of a sudden he's motionless, lying in a cold, dark tomb. Well, and that's why I'm glad we've got the Creed and St. Paul. And Paul says a little phrase, the third day. Aren't we glad that's in there? The third day. Then there was a third day. Probably the third part of a day. When it touched the third day, though, you know, the sun came up. Things started looking a little brighter on that day. It took them a while to comprehend what it meant. You know, they were wondering and puzzled a bit, the women. And the women told their story, and the listeners, the disciples, were a bit puzzled. It took them a while to process it, but you know what? They got it. They understood. Yeah, it looked like a mess, but it was turning around pretty good, you see. There was hope because of the third day. You know, I love that song. I don't know who wrote it, not sure who sings it. It says, "He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for despair." Paul says, "I pass on to you what's of first importance, that Christ died for us according to the Scripture. He was buried, but then on the third day He was raised according to the Scripture." He is risen. You have hope. Hope. pray you're living with a sense of hope. You know, it's a terrible thing to go around life saying, oh, I believe in the resurrection, but live and not be a hopeful person. Of course, there's a lot of people who are hopeful out in the world. I remember talking to one of my immediate relatives a few years back, and I asked her, and I said, do you know if you're going to heaven when you pass away? She said, I hope so. Hope, that's not the kind of hope you want. I hope so. What she's saying to me was like, well, I think I possibly could. I hope I possibly could. And I want to go, but I really don't know. But I'm still alive. I think that's kind of what she was saying to me. I hope so. It'd be a nice idea. You see, we have more than just that kind of hope. You see, we have in a resurrected Christ, you can infer that you can find acceptance in Christ. You can infer you can find hope in Christ. But you can also infer that you can find help in Christ. Because the inference or innuendo, conclusion you can reach from a risen Christ is that He's still alive. You see, if He's not in the tomb, that means He's alive and He's somewhere breathing and ready to go. In fact, the Scripture says He's interceding. He's going to bat for you and I who believe. And that's what we find in a couple Scriptures. We find it, first of all, in 1 Peter 1:3, which says He's given us not only hope, but a living hope through the resurrection of Christ. But then in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says He is able to save forever those who come to the Father through Him because He always lives to make intercession for us. So my third conclusion or link to the resurrection is this, is that I hope you understand that Christ is alive, able to help you right now. You understand that, don't you? You see, a lot of people have this idea about Christianity, that somehow it's something to do with like organizational stuff, which it does, or that somehow it has to do with like rules and performance, kind of, you know, yourself moving around on a horizontal level. Like Christianity is, you know, it's like reading the Bible. I think that's probably a part somewhere in Christianity. I hope you read the Bible. It's like praying, you know, something you do, and sometimes you feel bad you don't pray more, you don't read the Bible more. But, you know, that really doesn't get at what Christianity is, I don't believe. Some people think it's about, you know, being a better person. Certainly, that's what happens when we understand Christ. He moves us toward trying to be better and actually helping us to become better. And it's the helping part that I want you to understand this morning. Because I believe that Christianity really is about you, a living person, trusting in another living person who is much greater, much bigger, and far more willing to help you than you are to help yourself. You see, He is risen. He's alive. And He's available, folks. Well, the question, only question comes, are you available to Him? Do you believe? Do you have a rich faith? Do you believe that, you know, the resurrection is just not, you know, saying, well, a couple thousand years ago, He came back to life. But you understand, the creed goes on to say He ascended, right, to the right hand of God. And is there at the right hand of God where He's watching over you. I want to conclude with one more illustration here to help you get this. But it was radio preacher Chuck Swindoll. He said that 1937, that's 70 years ago, They completed the Golden Gate Bridge, huge bridge. Maybe it might be the biggest one in the world, I don't know. But it's huge, and I tell you, you don't want to fall off of that thing. Well, they built it in two phases as they worked on the bridge. And the first phase, it cost $77 million. The first part went extremely slowly. It was very slow grind to get it done. And the problem was, is the reason it was going slow is because 23 men fell off of it and died. Now, that's going to slow you down if you're up there working. And you're thinking, I think it's possible to count to 24. And I don't know if I want to count that high. And so you're working. And so you ever get on the top of a ladder and you're up pretty high and you want to lean over a little bit and you can feel every muscle in your body tightening up because you're like, you don't want to be leaning out there. You know what I mean? And you only might be 10 feet off the ground. But you're thinking, whoa, somebody hold this ladder. You know, finally, after a while, you acclimate a little bit and you loosen up and you realize that it's dangerous. And be careful, but you get a little fear out. But it takes quite a while to build a bridge that way when you're working in fear. Paralyzes you. Well, finally, some genius got the idea, hey, you know what we need? Speed this thing up. We need a net. And so they made the biggest net in the world. 7 years ago, it cost them $100,000. I don't know what it would cost today, but that's a lot of money and that's a lot of net. They built the net and they finished the bridge very quickly. And you see, because a number of men actually fell working after that, but you know, the net caught them. They're okay. They're good to go. It's the same with you and me. You know, we can get paralyzed with fear. We say, oh, I believe in the resurrection. But we live as if we're paralyzed. We're worried about falling. We're worried about like something traumatic happening to us or to those around us. And truth is, a lot of traumatic stuff can happen. But you know what? If you're willing to believe it, if you're capable of believing it, there's a huge net. And it's called a living Christ. And His arms are wide open, ready to catch you. You don't need to like tiptoe through life. As if, you know, you're walking on eggshells or like you're worried about you're walking on the edge of the bridge and you're going to fall like 300 feet below. Because He is risen. Thanks be to God. I want to conclude by wrapping this up so you get what we're going at here. Think about the resurrection. You know, the implications are a ton. I just touched on three of them here. If we can conclude from a risen Christ on this Easter in this year, 2007? Well, first thing we conclude is that I don't know how you feel about your relationship with God today, but I hope you feel this way every day, that in Christ, if you can believe it, you're accepted. That's what the resurrection shows. He escapes death. Goes right through it. The greatest enemy you ever face is death. The tomb is empty. In Christ, you can find acceptance. Secondly, in Christ, you can find hope. And I don't care what situation you get stuck in. In Christ, you can find hope. That we can conclude from a man who overcomes death. Resurrection shows we always have hope. And finally, in Christ, resurrected Christ, you can find help. He's available. He's alive. He's ready to help you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He even works on Sundays. And if you still don't have it, here it is. In Christ, every day you have good reason to smile. You can't get all the points. In Christ, every day, you have good reason to smile. I hope you're smiling always on the inside and a whole lot on the outside. He is risen. Happy Easter. Lord, we bow before You. Help us to get it a lot, to get it deeper and more fuller in our lives, more richly. And we pray that You would help us to grow in our understanding that You have conquered death, and we have every reason to smile in this world, for You will provide and You will carry us into a better world to come. Use this message to advance Your ways and Your grace in our midst. Amen. Let's respond to today's message as we sing from hymn number 267. Please stand.